Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 18th day of August. Thank you for letting us be a part of your weekend mornings. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning.
And a good morning to all y'all out there in Locust Grove.
All right, now. The folks down that way, hope they're having a great Sunday morning. Thanks for letting us hang out with you on this weekend.
Yeah.
And you know, we're getting ready to great. We supposed to have like a cool spell supposed to come through here.
A cool spell?
Yeah, cooling spell. And we're going to be under 90 degrees after today. After we still hit the 90s okay. today. But after today, we're going to go for the next 5 days below 90 degrees. I think I saw somebody report that this summer we broke an Atlanta record for consecutive days over 90.
Okay.
You know, for consecutive days over 90 that we did this summer, we've done it. But we will be out of the 90s starting tomorrow. It's still going to be a little warm. It's going to still be in the 80s, but we're going to be out of 90 degrees for about the next 5 days. I think the 90s pop back up next weekend. But you know, we're starting to dial back. We're starting to get to that a little bit of a turn, we hope.
Yeah.
Because this
get your sweaters. Get them out of the
Well, now we're not.
No, I'm just getting them ready.
Okay, we'll get
because you know you got to get through. If you didn't put them in plastic and you suck all the air out of them, they got that sitting in the closet smell.
Yeah, you got to do something.
Go put some stuff in the closet.
You just go and just throw them on and
exactly
step out there, you know. And you want to be ready, especially going to the games when you get into October and it's in terms of the sweater weather.
Exactly, get that stuff ready. My favorite coat, I get to wear that again. My favorite coat is something I got at Lowe's.
Whoa. Yeah, you told me about that.
I went and bought Kyle one, too. He loves it. He goes, it's like a James Bond coat. But it's like, it was, I don't know who the company was that brought them there. And obviously, one of the vendors that does business with Lowe's. But, man, I'm so happy. And they had them for like, it seemed like $100 less than what you would have paid if you bought those in a store.
Really?
And they were, oh, man. Yeah. I'm real happy about that, so I'm going to pull that coat out here sometime soon here. Coming up, John Grant is going to join us next segment. He's the executive director of the Celebration Bowl, but he'll be joining us talking about the MEAC SWAC Challenge. Sam and I are going to get a little personal coming up in the 7:40 segment. But as always, top of the 7 o'clock hour, turn things over to you, Mr. Crenshaw.
You know, yesterday when we spoke, you want to talk about this?
Oh, the kickoff 24, yeah.
We had John Batnarowski on, friend of the show from Marietta Daily Journal, and he does a fine preseason high school football guy, and it's kickoff 24 this year. And he asked most of the players to really dress up. Guys get dressed up. And you wonder if young folk, you know, have suits. And some of these young, and he told the story how some of these young people had to get with their parents, and you know, and some of them didn't have anything, and they went out. They want to look good, and it does. It's a fine looking thing. If you get a chance, if you're out in Cobb County,
Kickoff 24.
Very fine, well produced. So Cherokee County schools and Cobb County schools are all represented in this very well. Get stories and thumbnails about your players you want to watch. Also, Kennesaw State, you got stuff on them as well. So it's great, and it's all color pictures and great backstories. But here's the thing. You had these guys called the Dynamite 12.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you coming down to your deadline, you're getting ready to go and send this thing to the printer now. So you got these pictures of these outstanding young players, and you got one that's going to one school, and the day that he takes this great publication to be printed, this kid transfers to another school. If you get this, and I'm not gonna give the name, but if you get this, you're gonna see one of these young folks, one of these guys who's dressed up really nicely. He's a different Greg.
He's not there. It's like seeing the original picture of Genesis. All of a sudden, you look 10 years later and go, hey, where's Peter Gabriel? And just three dudes.
In the transfer portal. You know, and this is at the high school level. We've been talking so much about at the college level and how it, you know, and that really plays havoc on the people. And shout out to all the people who work in sports information or sports communications at colleges and universities, because these are the people who, you know, put all the information, your updated rosters, who's on the team, on your websites if you prefer to follow them online, or in a media guide if you prefer to find them, you know, the certain way of publications that they have. There are a lot of fans and a lot of media still like to collect.
Well, they're going to have to change.
The thing of it is, Greg, you got to get it printed in a certain timely manner. You can't go get it the day before your first game.
But
the roster keeps changing, and you don't know who to put in there that's going to, you know. And you think about the guys like who does the Street and Smiths and those publications that come out months before the season. half the guys they got in there.
There you go.
Let's say that, right?
What was that?
On the newsstand. Them things are $15 now. I was looking at them the other day and said, you know, I used to buy this thing every year.
There you go.
I had to have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, mm-mm, man, because most of the guys in there moved around.
Putting something in your hands to read is going by the way of the dodo. I don't care whether it's this topic, whether it's a USA Today. I used to get a USA Today every time I got on a flight. Go and try and find a USA Today, or it's $3.50.
Yep.
It's just some crazy price. We
get it on different ways.
We know that it's online. We know our phones, our devices, and we can watch them.
When it comes to this, you got to get it updated. You have to stay current, and that's the moving goalpost.
And that's the
for
technology.
People who work in the sports communication business.
Bednarowski and them dudes are going to have. They will be something that comes up where they will put in the magazines. It's like I get with breakdowns. Subject to change. Subject to move. These players are not, whatever the language will be, they will be something moving forward. And 10 years from now, we will talk about, remember when we used to buy it in publications? The transfer portal changed all that. It's just the way it is, though, man. But I was thinking about that as we were talking to John yesterday. I didn't want to bring it up to him. I figure I didn't want to be the one to remind him that his job title has got to change a little
Yikes.
Bit.
Yikes.
But, yeah, it is. Yeah. It's the nature of the business, right?
That's what's happening today. We got some games that were played yesterday, high school games, that were impacted by the storm that came through the area, really came down that I-75 corridor right out of the northwest corner of the state and came all the way down into the metro area. And so some of those games were put off until yesterday. I'm going to run down a score from a few of them. Towns County, 42-14 over Murray County. Let's see here. Pickens, the game was stopped between Pickens and Pepperell, and Pepperell was up 14-0. Pickens ends up getting the win 31-28 in the game that they ended up having and finishing yesterday. Tryon 30-6 over Gorton Lee, final score there. Heritage Catoosa over Christian Heritage 42-17. Model over Sonoraville 21-14 in a game that we were supposed to broadcast here on Sports Radio 92 The Game Friday night, but the storm and the lightning just kept us from doing up in Rome. Cass drove down to Callaway. They played this game at Hoganville, and apparently Cass didn't like the bus ride because they beat Callaway 42-7. And so Cass was the winner in that game yesterday. Dalton played North Murray. North Murray beats them by a score of 22-9. Final in that one. Of course, you were listening to games here yesterday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the final day of the Corky Kell Dave Hunter Kickoff Classic. And games we had, let's see, final score. It was Walton beating Brookwood 30-21. Final in that game, North Gwinnett and McEachern 39-17. Good ball game, exciting ball game there. Houston County came north from Central Georgia, South Central Georgia.
I was going to say, where is that, Houston County?
Houston County, down there in Warner Robins, down south, south of Macon, between Warner Robins and
about by Bucky's.
Yeah, they kind of close to that down that way.
You got me brainwashed. You got me know where Bucky's
now,
is.
Now you mentioned it, yeah, it was out there, Bucky's. Houston County over Alpharetta 57 to 10, the final of that one. In Douglas County winning the final game last night, 42-7 over Cedar Grove, the final score in that one. So those are just some of the high school games that were played yesterday. Some regularly scheduled, but some had to be moved around. We had South Forsyth 40-14 winners over South Cobb. Hiram and Paulding County. Paulding County wins that game 45-42. Scoring matchup there. Mount Vernon beats Darlington 46-27. That was also another one that was moved. Gilmer 42, Fannin 28, and Cahilla Creek falls to Northwest Whitfield 35-0. That's your first week of high school football. Next week we're going to have more games. Week two, and of course the high school scoreboard show will come your way on the 30th as we have Falcons football next Friday. Falcons play the final game of their preseason.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what we got for you.
That's it?
Well, we talked about the transfer portal, and that is one thing. I tell you who's really, really having a hard time with this is our colleague.
Who's that?
Day-Day.
Day-Day
is having just – every time we talk to him, he's just shaking his head over this transfer. And
First thing, you got to remember, Day-Day got a house load of kids.
Yeah.
And all of them are playing sports.
Right.
And I'm sure that they come back with their thoughts on what's going to happen next with them, yeah. telling the parents this, that,
well,
and
well, you
thing,
know what? His are still fairly young, but he is thinking of that.
He is thinking about it.
He is thinking about that, and that's why I think. I mean, also his love for covering high school athletics, but also, you know, he knows what he has coming up in his own house and some decisions that he and his wife are gonna have to make, you know. So that's something that's out there. You want to see if there's a rule. You want to see that rule, you know, be the rule. And you're seeing some people that are not allowed to do some things, while other people seem like they just go wherever the heck they want.
Yeah.
And so when you have that, you have some people with some bad feelings about some things. It's early in the season, and it has gone on, you know, for some time, for years. And the High School Association tries to get out in front of it. And like I said, it's kind of like a moving goalpost in a way. You know, you get to a way. And so you see certain teams that you say, well, look at this guy. This guy was over at this school. He was over at that school. And it'll be the same way with other sports. Now, it's happening with other sports, too.
Right.
Football gets more attention. You know, they got some people who switch to a different school for track, you know, or for tennis. Or a sport where they feel like, okay, this team does well all the time, and the college scouts come to watch it. Remember how important the college recruiting is now, because college coaches can go for experienced talent rather than these high school folks. So I don't know if that makes it justifiable for parents to want to get their kids to places where they see, you know, the college coaches are coming and really mm-hmm. looking at those kids to recruit. But that's another part of it, you know. There's the college scholarships. I'm not saying they're not as easy to come by as they have been, but the college coaches got choices. They can get people with more experience to come in and play on their teams. Some want to get the younger because you some like coaching
mm-hmm.
and like teaching, you know, and they enjoy that side of it. But they also know their livelihood is attached to it. You know, and so they got to get results.
What was it that happened a few years ago when Harbaugh was up in Michigan and he came down here and had a camp? Are those things still happening?
They are. I mean, you don't. You
and
know,
that upset a whole lot of folks
well,
down
here.
Well,
because he had it right here in downtown Atlanta.
He had it
over Carver.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, you remember that?
Hey, Noel, come on in here.
So that was hilarious, right?
I remember all of that drama. That was hilarious.
Yep. It was great. And Kirby Smart had to come through and fly his chopper in there.
That was a thing, right? And again,
Nick Saban was upset.
Well, he was trying to push buttons. And the other thing was, if I'm not mistaken, he was trying to get over on his boy at Ohio State, who
uh-huh.
knows all about down here. So he probably told him, you go down there and have something happen down there in Atlanta. That was Urban Meyer, was still at Ohio State then.
Right.
And he was kicking Harbaugh's behind.
He came down and was blocks away from where the SEC plays their annual championship game. And decided to have a camp.
And I think he was down here in a Matt Ryan jersey, if I remember. He was.
No, he had a Hank Aaron jersey on.
Okay, yeah, that's okay. What it was. Yep.
Yep. Because he went and met with him and Ambassador Young. Wow.
Oh yeah.
This is how we started this show, talking about the show about this dude and how he goes about doing his business. But overall,
he's dialed it back now. You think about in the situation he's in now compared to there.
But yeah, he's out of this conversation. But I know we got to get on out of here. But I'm saying to you, moving forward, will you see coaches do that again? As we talk about the transfer portals, you talk about the future of the conferences, everything that's gone into the blender that's made college football different than it was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one of the things that still might happen?
Those are still happening. I mean,
with a coach at that level.
But nobody is making that kind of noise about it.
Right.
You're having a lot of camps and combines where a person from that coaching staff will come. Maybe not always the head coach, but mm-hmm. that stuff is continuing to go on. Yeah.
Right.
We got the talent here, man. They want to come in and get our talent.
Yeah,
you put a Hank Aaron jersey on. Jeez. That was good. All right. Well, listen, y'all having fun this morning?
We are.
It's the first time we've seen each other in like 3 weeks.
Band is back together.
Yeah. Thank you very much. like I said, we're going to get personal about why we've been apart coming up at 7:40. But up next, friend of the show, John Grant. We're going to be talking MEAC and SWAC Challenge. Up next, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning. Mr. Crenshaw, who are we listening to?
That will be the Florida A&M Marching 100. You've never seen these folks. It's like a lifetime experience. Everybody should see the Florida A&M Marching Band at least once.
Yes.
And they will be here. We'll be here next Saturday for the Mix Week Challenge.
Well, we got a guest. You want to welcome on here? A friend of the show, actually. It's not like we should make a big production about it, because I was thinking about this as we were mentioning him coming out of the last segment that he'd be joining us. We got a lot of folks on here that got their own walk-on music.
Yeah.
If there was a person that deserved to make a he's thinking about the one right now. Is John Grant be able to pick a song that he comes on to? This is a man been with us from the beginning, right?
Yeah, he's been with us all along. So
he ain't got his own intro music. John, we want you to think of a song that you would like us to play for you when you join us.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We are doing fine. The summer is just, Sam just got through talking about no more 90-plus days here in a row, so which means it's getting a little cooler, which means we're ready for football. And we heard how excited you are for this game coming up.
Well, we actually are. I mean, what a great way to, and a great place, meaning here in Atlanta, to open college football with a week zero game next Saturday. And we are certainly excited about it, because this is dubbed this year. ESPN has a series of games called Saturday Night College Football live on ABC. And, you know, we are happy to be the first out of the chute leading that series.
Wow. So something new, a big platform. First of all, for HBCUs, talk about this particular game, but for football HBCUs to get this kind of platform to start the season, John.
Well, it's tremendous for not only the MEAC and SWAC conferences, but for HBCUs in general. I mean, you realize there are only seven games that are going to be played on that day. And we are in the 7:30 premier slot in prime time to open up, be a part of opening all of the college football season. And then to have that for Atlanta to be followed up, you know, the following week with the AFLAC kickoff game with George and Clemson, you know, Atlanta becomes ground zero for the opening of the college football season.
We love that. We simply love that, folks. Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with John Grant, Executive Director of the MEAC SWAC Challenge and the Cricket Celebration Bowl. And their social, you can always follow them at MEAC_SWAC, at MEAC_SWAC on social to find out everything that's going on with this game. Talk about this matchup and bringing these two teams together from the MEAC and from the SWAC. The Florida A&M team just left. They were here for the Celebration Bowl. We haven't seen Norfolk State here for some time, but we know that they have a big alumni base here in the Atlanta area.
Well, let me tell you, this game, there's a lot riding on this game for both universities. And you know, we're going to be looking for really I'm going to use the term a dogfight here, because you got Florida A&M, reigning national champions, coming back on the return. First time we've ever had a national champion close the season and then open the season in Atlanta with the new coach, Coach Colsey. And then you got the Norfolk State Spartans, with veteran coach Dawson Odoms in his third year at Norfolk State. Both of them, no one want to leave here with an 0-1 record. So there's a lot on the line for both of them, and I think you're going to see them coaching up their players to really leave it all on the field in this game. That, you know, each of them has a desire to leave here 1-0, because it really sets the tone for the rest of the season for both teams.
John Grant joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. John, I'm curious about something. You know, you every year you take what you do, the things under your umbrella, the Celebration Bowl, MEAC SWAC Challenge, everything else, and you take it to another level. My curiosity is this: as we get ready to start this upcoming season, how did this offseason differ from what you had to do, given the changing nature of college football, from last year? What were the focuses this offseason?
Well, you know, and that's a really great question, because our commitment is to consistently try to provide unique experiences for our fans. We don't necessarily look at what we do as that we're putting together a football game. We look at what we do as that we're creating experiential content for our fans, for the student athletes who participate, and for the viewers who watch. So as we were approaching this year, recognizing that we had a returning national champion, and that matchup was against, you know, as Sam alluded to, a Norfolk State team that has not been in Atlanta, you know, for a long time. So a lot of people don't know a lot about Norfolk State, as well as their marching band. Their marching band is one of the best in the country. They don't get out on the road a lot, but they're going to really take a national platform here. So you're going to see what we've been working on is assuring that the experience is at a very high level, that it's unique, and that people are going to see things this year as a part of their experience that they've never experienced in a college football game.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing the Spartan Legion, obviously, and their uniforms would definitely get your attention when you see them. John, you got something coming up. We got a number of things that people can get involved in leading up to the game. I see something that's a shoe competition that's coming up. With MEAC and MEAC SWAC, a theme to it that I think will take place on Wednesday.
Absolutely. So we've worked very closely with the alumni associations as a part of helping them raise money for their scholarship programs. And that event is one that's led by Norfolk State, that we're helping them to promote, to engage, you know, fans and friends to again, support their scholarship efforts that's happening on Friday. We know that Florida A&M has a golf tournament on Friday. Norfolk State, they also have a golf tournament on Friday. We're leading in with the Coca-Cola fan experience on Saturday, which will open up at 3, just outside of Center Park Stadium. Lots and lots of unique things that are going to be happening there. That's something you really don't want to miss, because it's going to be a fantastic, fantastic experience for fans who are coming to the game as they lead in with a bunch of tailgating, music, engagement, and some surprise appearances. But more importantly, that's the first head-to-head for the two bands. We have two great high school bands that are going to lead off at a band jamboree, and then that'll be culminated by the two marching bands doing a face-off in our fan experience before going into the game. So fans will be able to get up close and personal with that experience as well.
Well, you want to get there early and experience that. And also, I see Disney on the yard. Drum Major Mickey coming back.
Drum Major Mickey's coming back. And we, you know, there's nothing better than a Disney experience. And so as a part of this moment, as you know, we launched our partnership with Disney on the yard in 2021, and it's continued to grow and evolve, and not only here at our event, but even at HBCUs, you know, around the country, and things that they just came out of a big program in Los Angeles. So we're happy to welcome Mickey back this year with some unique and different experiences, and he's partnering this year with Jonesboro High School. So you can look to see some of the Jonesboro High School band members opening up our halftime show with Drum Major Mickey.
All right, John, listen, friend of the show, want you to take a deep breath here for a second, because, again, when we talk about you, Sam and I, that is, we talk about your body of work. Earlier we were mentioning that whoever succeeds you is going to have an uphill battle because of the things that you have brought forth. You have worked tirelessly to make just a part of the events that you are heading. So I want to ask you this question. It might take you a second, but I want you to ask you this question. Everything that you have named, every year you come on here and you tell us about new and exciting things. You get the ESPN venture, you talk about Disney. When you sit back, what are you most proud of about the achievements and the things that you have brought forth? What are you most proud of right now when you look at it? Yeah.
I think if I were to say anything, it's the impact that it has on young people across this city, that we work very hard to make sure that there is access for parents with kids, that young kids in high school and otherwise get a chance to be involved and see this experience. And we get literally hundreds of letters each year about how these experiences are transformational for them. And so for me, that is the most, the thing that I'm most proud of is that we're able to, that we, our focus of assuring that we create a what they see is what they'll be type of focus, which is the motto of 100 Black Men, and that we give them the opportunity to see what the potential is for them with to go off to college and be engaged in others, but also to be in a stadium full of professionals who are all, supporting historically Black colleges and universities and that are just really good sports fans.
Yep. You know, the one thing I always point out about, especially with the Celebration Bowl, John, and sometimes you don't point it out, I have to remind people, the schools that participate in that game usually always have a bump in freshman enrollment requests or applications the following year. We want to talk about the impact. That's okay. A big impact that you're being a part of as well. And I know you don't like to bring that up, but I'll bring it up.
There you go.
Well, that is true. These opportunities and being on the stages that we provide have, without question, had some significant impact on the participating universities as it relates to their applications, the increase in applications and interest in those schools, the fundraising efforts of those schools, created by the visibility that they've received. And so when you look at a Florida A&M who won a national championship, who saw a huge surge in the applications for their university this year, as did Howard University. Even though they didn't win the game, they were on the stage. And one of the things I'll say, whether it has any direct influence or not, we'll take it if it does. But, Howard just received a $170 million grant, their medical school, from the Bloomberg Foundation, which is transformational for HBCUs. But along with Morehouse School of Medicine, Meharry and I think one other. So, but we believe that creating that visibility, allowing people to look at these institutions, see what the value that HBCUs provide in the areas of human capital development, that they're putting out talent that can add and contribute to the fabric of our economy and to our society and to our democracy. There's nothing more pleasing for me than to know that at least we have a small part in that.
That is John Grant. We're talking about the MEAC Swag Challenge coming up next Saturday night. Tickets still available. 7:30 kickoff time on ABC. Mr. Grant, always great talking with you.
Yes, sir.
Looking forward to seeing you this week.
Thank you guys so very much for having me. We appreciate you.
As always, John. Listen, have a wonderful day, and thank you as always. And think of a song. Think of a song we can bring you on with next time.
I do. I already have it.
Okay. What is it? You want to tell us?
What you got?
Hello, Black. Hello, Black. I'm the man.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. Noelle, you got that?
Yep. She's ready.
She's got it. She's ready for you.
She got you loaded. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
John,
thank you.
John Grant joining us. All right. You. I'm feeling a certain kind of way. And first of all, I want to thank John Grant again for joining us here. But up next, we're going to get a little personal. I'm going to get a little personal. Sam's going to get kind of personal. But some things that have been going on in our lives that we have decided we're going to spend this segment to kind of bring you up on. And then we want to get back to sports because we got a lot of stuff going on here. And by the way, it's sitting right here in front of me. I got to mention again, we got WNBA action right here. Dream, Connecticut. Tip off at 3 p.m. In case you can't get in front of a TV, we got it for you right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Coming up I-75, and I hear this song. I say, "Oh, I ain't heard this Quincy in a minute."
Yeah.
So I play this when I get back on the show. Man. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. A couple guys who know their way around a movie set, both born on the same day, celebrated a birthday today. Christian Slater and Edward Norton.
Oh yeah, both.
both of them celebrating a birthday today. And there were another pair of famous people celebrating a birthday today. They're no longer with us, but the names you will know. Rafer Johnson, Olympian, who stole Wilma Rudolph from Muhammad Ali. That's a whole other episode of Oprah, but that's the truth. She liked him, and Ali, you know, had no, at least at that point. But anyway, Rafer Johnson and Roberto Clemente.
Oh, man.
Born on the same day.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Fantastic.
On this 18th day of August. Sam and Greg, listen, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this, and I've already given Noel a heads up. If I start to lose it, to just jump in. And we're going to do your second because that's more of an up-tempo thing. So let's get this out of the way. July 19th, my father died. And you have heard me talk about him on this show pretty much from day one. We weave him in to different conversations. The dude was a veteran of D-Day. He made it to 100.
Yeah.
June 3rd. Went down there and...
What a celebration.
Well, you know, and we I talked about this with you.
He ended up making the news.
Yeah, he did. Well, that's because I busted into the ABC, Sarasota TV station, and made them come out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got that. Should I put that up here? I don't know if I can rebroadcast or whatever, but, yeah, you're right. On his birthday's June 3rd.
That was so fitting.
And the 31st, whatever, but it wasn't actual Memorial Day, but I it was a Friday. And I was like, where's the local Sarasota TV station that does all the local stuff here? And they told me, oh, it's over here down Tamiami. And everybody knows Tamiami, Florida, 41. So I went over there. And as opposed to the Atlanta TV stations where you got to pretty much, you know, go through all sorts of.
Oh man, you got to jump through all kinds of hoops.
And then they want your tax return and stuff like that before you can get in. It was just a building. It had a little gated area where the people parked there, but I walked right up to the front door. And it was a Friday morning, and I'm banging on the door, and there's nobody in there. There's no receptionist. And nobody's coming to the front door, and I'm banging.
Those folks are working from home.
Right? And so now I back up a little bit, Sam, and I make sure the camera can see me. And I start acting a fool. Bang it. Hey, hey, come out here, right? I figure somebody's going to call the cops on a big black dude out there in front of your building. You know, making all these crazy moves. Somebody eventually got on the intercom and said, yes, can I help you, sir? And I said, well, I'd like to talk to, if it's possible, to talk to a reporter or somebody who could put me next to one. And they said, well, what are you here for? And then I decided, okay, this is not going to get me what I want this way, so I'm going to do it this way, and I'm going to tell them their business. And I said, all right, well, here's the deal. I am here in town with an elderly gentleman. I know that next week you are going to be doing all sorts of D-Day stories because it was coming up on the anniversary of D-Day, the 80th anniversary, which was June 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so I am here with a person who was there at that invasion. Not only that, on Monday he turns 100. So I think you want to talk to me. I got two stories for you. At the door beeps open.
Wow.
They let me in. I tell them what's going on. And Monday is the party for him. So they send a woman out. I mentioned her, Renee Gibson. She came out and she did a nice story on him. And she did a follow-up on her weekend show. But he wasn't feeling that well leading up to that birthday. There was something that was going on with him where he just was elsewhere. And people who have, you know, loved ones in facilities knows the ebbs and flows of their condition. But as we got closer to his birthday, he sort of perked up. And he was unclenching his hands and feeding himself. And it was like, okay, this is, well, maybe I'll have it. So I did. What I did basically was bring a big cake, had a few caregivers and family members show up, and we celebrated it with the other residents who, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they have music time. So a dude shows up, and he's playing his music, and they're all out in this one little area. So it was about 50 people out there, but they were the other residents, and they all gather at that particular time. So we had a nice party for him on the 3rd.
Yeah.
And everybody came back. And so let's see. I was trying to think. Something happened between that and the call I got. But anyway, I got the call on the 19th. And so I jumped in the car and went down there and started the arrangements. And so came back here, did a show with you, did a couple shows with you. But last week was the service. Now, I'm going to tell you that my family is no different than any of the other families out there. And I will be the first. And in fact, I'm putting this out there in front of 100,000 folks or more than that, that we turned into the Clampets the last year or so. Okay. In that they embarrassed themselves there. I mean, I got relatives who showed up who didn't show up for the entire time he's been in this facility, but they won't act like they're all in charge. Yeah. And then they show up and say, well, how come he ain't got, well, what's going on with this? And if they had been.
You know what? Our listeners are probably saying, yeah. They could, you know, and it brings that out sometimes.
You have normal conversations with the people who have been put in place. And by the way, ain't nobody strong arm somebody here. These were carrying out his wishes. He knew his family. And I guarantee you, those of you that have it, you know all your kids, you know all your kids. So when it comes to who's going to be in charge of you, you're going to think twice about having this person versus that person look over your finances. Make sure that you are medically taken care of. You know, some folks get their feelings hurt when they find out elders don't feel like they're responsible enough. So that's kind of what happened with me. And some people were left out. I'm the youngest, so the older ones were left out. And they got their feelings hurt. And, in fact, one of them is in the business of finances. And he got left out by his daddy. And there was a reason for that. And so conversations that we have had over the last X amount of months, years, have been uncomfortable. They've been uncomfortable for me. They've been uncomfortable for my wife. All right? And that is completely unnecessary. It ain't like we're fighting. This ain't like the Jordan kids going after Michael's money. He had, you know, a lot here, but that became an issue. And then the care of him became an issue. And so because of that, I kept them at arm's length because I had to still deal with, you know, pops. And I was not going to let anybody get in the way of that. And this dude had a send-off, and the way he was cared for his last these last few years is what I believe in a way that he would have proved. He didn't sit in a foxhole for 3 months on Normandy Beach for his kids to scrimp and cut corners on his care when he got past 90. No. When he was getting hit with stuff and being called the N-bomb during the Civil Rights Movement, trying to raise a family during that time, he didn't want his family cutting corners on what the money that he made and saved.
Right.
So when he got to retirement, when he got to this condition, he would have for him. He didn't want folks cutting corners on that because that would be more of their inheritance. Okay, we ain't talking about nothing over $1 million here. We're not talking about that kind of money. We're just talking about nickel and dime stuff. He sold a house down there in Florida. That made a little bit because it was during the time when houses got a lot more money than what they were worth.
Mm-hmm.
But again, he sat on this stuff for years. There wasn't many people at his funeral because he outlived everybody. You know what I'm saying?
That's kind of what happens to you, though. You get right. All your contemporaries,
they're all gone.
You know,
and so I say all this to say that the fighting wouldn't have happened if there was more communication, and if you didn't talk to me like I just got here off the bus from Neptune or something, then I would have kept you up on the movements of his care. But when you don't have any communications with the person who's running things or the finances, then you just want to jump in and.
There are a whole
Act
lot, of,
a certain kind
a whole
of,
lot of people who are listening
right
now.
All right,
now,
I'm going to cut to that.
No, who are nodding along that they've been through that and they've been down that road.
So I say all
and
this.
And I hate that you had to go through that.
I say all this. Listen, and I'm going to get to you in a second for what you did. I say all this to say that when I got up on the stage last week and I saw all those people who I've been fussing with for the last 4 or 5 years, they're right there in the front row and they're most of the people that were there. I remembered, you know, what you learn if you do public speaking, that you don't have to look anybody in the eye. You just look right over their heads. But it still looks like you're looking out to the audience. And so I did that whole service looking right over their heads because I saw my sister. I saw the mother, the extended family members. I saw them all there. I'm not talking about Tracy, Kyle, McKenna, and some of the neighbors who helped me out. And I want to say this. You find out who loves you when you have people show up at a service.
Mm-hmm.
The dude who was the drummer I told you about in the band I was in and old friends of mine got on a plane and came from Chicago, flew down and didn't tell me they were going to be there. And that's you would think that's enough. But no, his wife, who also showed up, also showed up is going through stomach cancer treatment. And she was there. And I, the first time I had seen her when she had lost all this weight. I tell you all this to say, folks, and I'm kind of just going to continue to talk so I don't stop and think about what was in front of me. But this dude lived a very long life. And while he wasn't a perfect man, he did some things. And one of the things I want to say that he did was the conversations I've had this past week with people. And I had them there. And I mentioned this to Noelle. And I want her to come on here real quick because I'm going to ask this question to you. Sam and I have talked about this. In your life, Noelle, in your house, when did the folks say that the civil rights movement started? And there's no bad, there's no wrong answer to this. But I'm bringing this up for a reason. And I want to pass this on to the audience. Who was the person that your elders say empowered them to feel a certain kind of way and knew that it was their time for them to be involved in the civil rights movement? Dr. King?
I don't know if it was a particular person. I think they literally got pushed into integration, and that was kind of their own frontier into
the movement.
So they kind of experienced it on their own level of not being able to buy popcorn at the movie theater and then having to come in a separate door and then breaking that mold in North Carolina. So they were a part of it in a sense.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Like I said, everybody gets to the party. When they get there and how they get there doesn't matter as long as you show up. So I'll bring it back to individuals. Some folks say Dr. King, obviously. Another generation will say Rosa Parks, 1955, ain't getting out of her seat. Those two events are usually the jump-off points for people and families who say, that empowered me to do X, Y, and Z. What I learned from my father, and then by extension, those of that generation. Do you know when the civil rights movement started for them, Sam?
Right.
And Noel? April 15th, 1947. That is the day that Jackie Robinson put on a Dodgers uniform. And for that generation, him breaking the color barrier is a seminal moment because you have to remember that what baseball was in this country. That was it. It was three sports being broadcast, period. It was baseball, it was college football, and it was boxing. Yep. And all on radio. So you didn't even see them for the most part. And for that sport being as big as it was, for everybody to hear about this Negro ball player crossing the, you know, Sam Smirk made me laugh. Breaking the color barrier empowered people in a way that you, at least then, wasn't chronicled. But having been around my father these last 5 years and seen some of the stuff that he saved, and I brought it and showed you, Sam, and I'll read it another time. It's one thing to hear about it, but it's another thing to actually have something tangible. And I will just give you the timeline. World War II ends in 1945. My father gets home in 46. He goes to college on the GI Bill, goes to Hampton Institute, before it was Hampton University, in that fall of 46. That next spring of 47, Jackie breaks the color barrier. The nation watches or listens to baseball that summer, okay? And Jackie become the rookie of the year. That next fall in 47, when the school year starts, he is a part of the sports department, and he and a couple other people, but I have his letter, they wrote to the university and the sports department asking if they could have baseball brought to our college because of what Jackie Robinson did. My point for this, and I'll wrap this up, is that was an empowerment that wouldn't have happened a year earlier. That was making black folks feel a certain kind of way when Jackie broke that color barrier and gave them reason to say, hey, if he can do it, we can do it. This is the lesson I learned and I wanted to share with everybody, and that there is a generation out there that felt like he was the beginning of the civil rights movement for them, and he empowered by Branch Rickey, letting him be a part of that. And let's bring Pee Wee Reese into this, because Jackie don't finish that season unless Pee Wee Reese puts his arm around him. That's another famous story.
Oh, yeah.
If that doesn't happen, that doesn't empower a generation of black folks. And that's the takeaway I have from my father and bringing it here to our audience. And we'll keep moving forward, along with the other things just a parent gives to their kid.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get through it okay?
Yeah, fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll shut up now. We'll talk about what you did earlier in the week there, but I had to choose. Sorry.
That's all right. We had to, you know what? You know what? And when we missed you, we knew what you were dealing with. And, you know, and I know how much it meant to you and how much of your heart you put into it.
And you were there because you talked me off the ledge a couple times. I was crying like a so-and-so down there in Sarasota. And this man on the other phone talked me through. It was Reverend Crenshaw at his best.
No.
He did. That voice was like a warm blanket, a warm comfort that I needed multiple times as I've gone through this process. We moved this man out of his house when he was 96, and he just left us. 4 years this has been going on. And I, along with my family, one of the people I couldn't have gotten through this with is you. So I wanted to say that publicly, Mr. Yep. Crenshaw. Thank you, Sam. Yep. And listen, Mike Conti's been there. We've had some really good talks, and he's been a good, you know, sounding board for me too. So I want to thank that. And Rick Caffey.
Yeah.
So anyway, everybody here. So let's get going here. Let's get back to sports coming up. 8 o'clock hour. We're gonna start the conga line of guests again. Joe Patrick is joining us, letting us know his thoughts on what we saw or moving forward with Jacksonville, but last night or yesterday with the Falcons and Baltimore, that game. That is up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com.